I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Republican leader Jack Kemp passed away this weekend. I'll talk about his legacy in my Can I Just Tell You commentary later in the program. But first, it's time to go behind closed doors. That's the part of our program where we talk about issues that we often don't talk about publicly because of stigma or shame. Today, we're talking about adults who are moving back into their parents' homes due to the current economic downturn. It's a situation that more and more Americans find themselves in. According to a survey released this March by the AARP, a third of people between 18 and 49 years old live with parents or other relatives. But it's still a situation that often elicits feelings of anxiety or discomfort. So joining us now to talk more about this is NPR senior business editor Marilyn Giewax. She's been covering this trend closely. We're also joined by guests who are living this experience. Dennis Herndon is an audio engineering manager here at NPR, and his daughter moved in with him just this past weekend, along with her significant other and two children. Also with us is Marilyn Eakin. She moved into her mom's house a year ago after being laid off, and she made that move with her husband and two young children in tow. Welcome to everybody.
Good morning.
And Dennis, just I have to go to you first, because when I said that, you know, your daughter just moved back in, your face just did something really interesting. You don't seem that happy about it.
Well, I'm not really, but it's necessary, and I know that. I should have probably moved into like an efficiency after all the kids had moved out. But no, I kept the house, and there's room for them, so they're going to stay at least through the summer.
You
That's
set a deadline?
Plan.
Really?
Yeah, set a deadline.
If you don't mind my asking, what were the circumstances that led you all to decide that this was the best course of action?
Well, first of all, she needs a job desperately, but she has two kids. And what she's found out is that paying for childcare almost took away any money that she would have made working full time. So she works part time, and her significant other is working full time. But the building that they were living in Washington, D.C., is about to be sold. And almost every tenant in that building who have been in there for maybe 20 years or more are all up in arms about it. And they all trying to figure out what to do. Her thing was, hey, Dad, can I come home? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, can you pay rent? And then I let her in.
Okay. Marilyn, you can tell us your situation. How did you and your husband decide to move back in with your mother?
Well, actually, it wasn't after I was laid off. It was actually after my mother was laid off.
Ah.
I have been laid off, too, but that just happened recently.
Wow.
Yeah. And so my mother had been laid off and was on a job search and struggling like everyone. And she owned her home, and we were renting. And they were the company we were renting for was going to raise our rent. And we just were all kind of concerned about the overall situation. We lived very close to each other already, just down the street. And when my mom was getting concerned about, you know, how long am I going to be able to dip into my savings to keep my house, my husband actually suggested that we all move in together, either she move in with us or vice versa.
And your intention was to help out with the bills in her house. And how is that going?
It's going great. And it also would help us as well, because we're paying her much less rent than we were paying for our apartment. And also I was pregnant with my daughter. So the general idea was to help each other with bills and help each other with being a family, because we already did that in two separate houses anyway. So as far as helping each other with, you know, meals and that sort of thing. So it's going well. It has its challenges, for sure. Well, there's a lot of personalities in a small two-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath townhouse.
With three adults and two children? Three adults and three?
Mm-hmm. Three adults, two children, and a cat.
Yeah, that's a lot of personalities there.
Yes.
Marilyn Giewax, you've been following this trend. How do these two stories reflect what you're seeing in your reporting?
Well, first, it's important to remember that actually this trend of young adults living with their parents or parents moving in with kids, whatever, has been going on really since the 1970s. And there's a couple of reasons for that trend. One is that houses have just gotten bigger. As Dennis just said, I had room. They, you know, you should have moved into an efficiency. Well, the fact is, a lot of parents have houses that actually can accommodate people. There is a spare bedroom. Back in the 1970s, the average home was about 1,400 square feet. Today, it's about 2,400 square feet. So we have more bedrooms. We have more bathrooms. And then for a lot of young people, they're burdened with college debt. The cost of getting your first home is very high. So we've actually seen that since the 1970s, there's been a 50% increase in the number of people in their 20s, from like 18 to early 30s, living with their parents. And so now we have a recession layered on top of that. When we have all these job losses, we've lost more than 5 million jobs since this recession began. So you put an existing trend together with a recession, and you got a lot of this.
And the mortgage foreclosure
well, and then you throw layer in foreclosures. Last year, we had more than 3 million home foreclosures. So far, the Census Bureau hasn't been able to track exactly how many people have moved in with their parents or whatever, because it's just they move slowly doing these things. But there are indirect ways we can look at this trend, and that is we know that 3 million people lost their homes last year. But yet there's not all the rental units haven't filled up. I mean, there are still pretty high vacancy rates out there. So those people went somewhere, and they're not all living in tents. So where did they go? What happened with those 3 million families? We can only infer from this that, in fact, they've moved in with relatives or close friends.
You know, in much of the world, this is not considered unusual. In fact, our style is considered unusual. It's considered customary for in much of the world to live in intergenerational households until a child gets married, often even after the child gets married. But in this country, there is some stigma attached to it. Dennis, do you agree that it feels like a like a step backwards? Does it feel that way?
Yeah, to a certain extent. You know, I mean, I was looking forward to my empty nest. And like I said, I was going to move to another place for myself. And I was going to buy a condominium, you know, no more mowing grass and carrying on all the things that I did while the kids were growing up. So I was looking forward to that. Now I have to look forward to that later. Again.
Yeah, your bachelor pad.
Yeah.
Your surround sound, the big screen.
Yeah, we have
you're
to
playing Dora
that.
On that and not whatever you were planning to play on that, I guess is a but Marilyn Eakin, for you, did you feel any sense of kind of loss of face, loss of autonomy? Did you or your husband feel embarrassed about it at all?
No, I mean I definitely got feedback from coworkers at the time, like, oh, you're crazy, and what are you thinking? And but we felt pretty positive about it. It was definitely an adjustment, but I think my mom has had a much more of an adjustment than us, because her place is lovely, and, you know, it's just as good of a standard of living, if not better, for us. Nicer washer and dryer, et cetera. And for her, she's had to give up a lot of quiet. She's had to give up definitely her aesthetic.
Put it nicely. She had to get a lot of her tchotchkes off the table and
to
childproof.
She just has a lot more clutter now, because there's a 3-year-old boy with toys and a 6-month-old baby and with binkies and that sort of thing. And I know my husband is definitely not as neat as she is, and I'm not even really close. I try, but it's just, you know, I'm somewhere in the middle.
Any fights over the kitchen?
No, because it's her kitchen. I just work in it.
You know, if you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the experiences of adults moving back in with their parents, particularly in the wake of the economic downturn, and sharing their own experiences. Our NPR audio engineering manager, Dennis Herndon, homemaker Marilyn Eakin. We're also speaking with NPR senior business editor, Marilyn G. Wax. Marilyn, you were going to say something?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's been interesting about what Americans spend money on is the comments Marilyn Eakin was making made me think about this, that we spend money on gaining privacy. We sort of like to be alone. You know, when you look at what people spend money on, they tend to build another bedroom or create a wing so that the master bedroom is on one side of the house. And, you know, everybody wants their own space. And, in fact, colleges have had a real problem with, back during the baby boomer days, they'd put four kids in a room and, you know, there was two sets of bunk beds and shut up and like it. And then increasingly colleges have had to completely redesign dormitories to have single rooms only, because one of the things people will complain about rising college costs, but they were still willing to pay for more privacy. We like having our own space. But economists will say that is a very expensive luxury, that all this privacy that we've built for ourselves, our own bathroom, our own bedroom, has come at a great cost. During the peak of the housing boom in 2005, Merrill Lynch did a study and said that in the first half of that year, when housing was really booming, about half of the entire GDP was tied to housing, like just buying more stuff for the house and building houses and getting more furniture. And if you're an economist, you look at that and it's kind of a waste, because you build this stuff and it doesn't really generate jobs over the long haul. I looked at an example in 1998. If you had spent, as someone did, an investor, spent $1 million investing in Google, in 10 years later, Google had created 20,000 great jobs. If you'd spent $1 million in 1998 on a house, well, today you'd have a house that's worth about $1 million, and whatever jobs would have been created would have only been those construction jobs that were created at originally building it. But it really isn't a job generator.
How about the money spent on therapy to deal with yourself after?
So you know, from an economic standpoint, we'd have all been a lot better off not building so many rooms and so many houses and expanding all those bedrooms, but we would have been better off investing in new technologies, bright ideas. We could have used more Googles and less McMansions.
Dennis, is this making you feel better about the whole thing?
No.
What would make you feel better?
For her to find one of those million-dollar houses to move into.
Do you at least get some help with the grass?
Well, yeah, actually, I will.
Cooking?
Yes.
Getting some help with
because
that?
Because I wasn't really cooking for myself. And now I'm just food at the house. I hope there will be.
Did you straighten all this out ahead of time? Did you lay down any markers other than a deadline? Or?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, on Monday nights, I have to watch 24.
Well, obviously.
That seems more than reasonable. Marilyn Eakin, final thought from you. How long do you think your situation is going to last? And what do you think is, you all seem a little happier about it than our other guest here. What do you think is contributing to making it work for you? Any advice that you have for other people contemplating this arrangement?
Well, for us, I mean, we did it sort of in anticipation of things getting tight financially. They weren't quite there yet, and I think that was helpful. And you know, my mom worked very hard to get the space ready for us, which was really nice. And so we're very lucky. And we're not looking at the situation ending anytime soon. If anything, we'll probably just look to move into a little bit bigger of a home altogether, or something with maybe an in-law unit or that sort of thing.
Any rules for the road you can share very briefly?
Take lots of deep breaths. And just remember it's your family, and, you know, privacy is overrated.
Okay. Marilyn Eakin lives in Dublin, California, where she was kind enough to join us by phone. Marilyn Geewax is NPR's senior business editor, and Dennis Herndon is an audio engineering manager here at NPR. And they were both kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.